In Psalm 95, the psalmist calls on us to sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth, to sing to the Lord and praise his name. We're going to do that together now in this new year. And we're going to, first of all, hear from the choir, so you might like to be seated. Well, what cheer indeed on this new year. It's time now to stand and take a turn at singing yourselves with Bethlehem, a Noble City. Let's join together. Please be seated. Well, I want to say a warm welcome to you this morning on this first Sunday of the new year, both here in person at Scott's and online via YouTube. We're very glad to have you with us. Of course, face masks are now mandatory while attending church, and as I look around, it's very good to see you all observing that. Now, we don't usually make a fuss about special visitors, but it would be remiss of me not to welcome Douglas and Alison Robertson, who are back with us, my predecessor here at Scott's, back from Scotland to say hi today. A warm welcome to you. Also, Richard and Rosemary O'Brien have arrived. The old team is back together. So if you have any complaints about the new minister, feel free to talk to them afterwards. I'm sure they'll be glad to hear from you. Also, we have a whole host of visiting clergy this morning, which makes me very, very nervous. Joel Maestri and family from Dandenong, Nathan and Robin Campbell and Mitch and Maddie Smart, who you'll find if you meet them are a little bit related to me, but we welcome them very warmly. And I've been told that John Wilson is here with us this morning too. There he is. And Mrs. Wilson, a very warm welcome to you. And if you're clergy or not, you're equally welcome here on this holiday Sunday morning. It's good to be together. If you are otherwise new to Scots, we'd really love to meet you and get to know you. And there are some introduction cards scattered around the pews. We'd love you to grab one of those. Either scan the QR code and leave us your details, or fill it in and leave it at the desk at the door as you leave. And don't forget to grab a coffee at the back as you're leaving, or else you're very welcome to join us at morning tea in the mezzanine floor of the Westpac building behind me. We're going to sing again together now, Love Came Down at Christmas. Please be seated, and would you join me in prayer? Lord of heaven and earth, maker of all things new, you are indeed to be feared above all gods. The things that our hearts are inclined to worship, even though formed by our own hands. We acknowledge that from the start our human hearts have been inclined towards wrong, to serve and pursue and lust after created things rather than you as our creator, our judge, and our redeemer. And so on this first Sunday of a fresh new year, we confess to you afresh and ask that you would continue to work in us by your Spirit, so as to renew our minds, that you would continue to change our way of thinking, that we would truly be a people who live our lives in view of your mercy, lives of gratitude and thanksgiving, lives of mercy and kindness, lives of sacrificial service, as together we present ourselves to you as a living sacrifice, that this indeed might be our true spiritual worship in the year ahead. Father, we ask that in the year ahead you might turn our hearts afresh to the Lord Jesus, who gave himself for us, so that because of him we might grow in our love for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, seeking to use our gifts to build one another up rather than to glorify ourselves. And these things we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Before leading you in our pastoral prayer, just a couple of quick announcements. If you were here last Sunday, you would have heard that Nick, otherwise known as Spud, who's a fairly regular attender at the 5 p.m. service, was in ICU with COVID. I'm pleased to tell you now that after 6 days in ICU, he's now recovering at home. But sadly, his friend Jack, another fairly regular attender at the 5 p.m. service, is suffering from COVID. So please keep those two in your prayers. Let us pray. Father of all mercies, thank you for this life that you have given us, for its blessings and its joys, and for its challenges too. Above all else, thank you for light in the world, the light of life, brought to us in Jesus the Christ and shining still through his Spirit. Let the light of Christ shine on us day by day, so that we, with grateful hearts, might love and serve you and might love and serve our neighbour all the days of our lives. Father God, we thank you for the life and the fearless Christian witness of Archbishop Desmond Tutu of Cape Town, now gone to glory. Small in physical stature, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, truly a giant. He was your instrument against injustice and for truth and reconciliation. He stood by and for the downtrodden, the exploited, the marginalised and the despised. Again and again, regardless of who was in political power, he courageously and compassionately spoke the truth in love. May his example inspire many others for generations to come. Rest eternal grant unto him, O Lord, and let light perpetual shine upon him. Father God, we pray for our governments, federal, state and local. Bless our leaders and their chief health officers. Enlighten and guide the crucial decisions that they're called on to make for our health, safety and welfare during this pandemic. And we pray this for all the world's governments and peoples. Bless and sustain our health workers in all their different roles, all who are serving in hospitals, at testing stations and vaccination hubs, and in any other way. Strengthen them and encourage them in all their efforts. May they know the thanks and appreciation of a grateful nation. We pray for those who are infected with COVID, for those in isolation, for those in our hospitals, intensive care wards, and for their families and friends. And we pray for all who are afflicted or distressed for whatever reason, whether in mind or body or spirit, or in any difficult circumstances. And all of this we ask in and through the name and for the sake of Jesus our Lord. Amen. The hymn 551, In Heavenly Love Abiding.
The first reading is from the letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Amen. The reading continues in Romans chapter 12, reading verses 9 to 21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen.
Thank you, Rosalie. Let's take a moment to pray before we look at God's word together. Our Father, as we turn to this part of your word this morning, we pray that you would warm our hearts by it, that your spirit would enliven us to catch a glimpse of life well lived under the lordship of our Lord Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. The Wall Street Journal recently suggested that instead of making your own New Year's resolutions, you could get your friends or loved ones to choose them for you. Now, what do you think? Nice idea, but a little bit high risk maybe if you don't want to face up to that much reality. Here is another option. Inc., the online business magazine, that's INC, short for Incorporated, suggests that a good post-lockdown resolution would be to sleep more at work and encourage your staff to do the same, to help in the adjustment from working at home. Besides which, they say, studies have proven without a doubt that creativity and problem-solving improve after a half-hour nap. So please don't ring the Scots office between noon and 12:30 as we test out the theory in the next few weeks. But look, by and large, proper New Year's resolutions are tough to keep, aren't they? In fact, I read the other day that most people these days don't even bother making them anymore. But I'm going to be a little bit forward this morning anyway, and in the spirit of the Wall Street Journal, offer three New Year's resolutions for our church from this very practical chapter of the New Testament, Romans chapter 12. Romans, of course, is a very famous part of the Bible, largely because it played such a big part in the Protestant Reformation. And chapter 12 is a very famous chapter because it marks a kind of a turning point in the book. The first 11 chapters are all about, here is what God has done for us. And then at chapter 12, the pivot. So here's how to respond in return. Chapters 1 to 12, here is God's grace to you. Chapter 12, verse 1 onwards, here's how to show your gratitude. So here's a sample from the first half. Romans 3, verses 22 to 24. This righteousness from God, says Paul, comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, he says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Justified freely. Now, you know how often we try to justify ourselves when we know we've done the wrong thing. Well, I was very tired. I was under stress when I said that. This is far better. This is God justifying you. God saying, she is actually okay because all the wrongs have been righted by Jesus. That's literally what justified means, righted. And so Romans 1 to 11 is packed with the surprising news that God has righted us already, has put us right through what Jesus has done for us. Which when you first catch on to, is actually astonishing. And then you come to chapter 12 in the book, the pivot point, which you can see from the very first sentence has the word therefore. From here on, it's all about the therefore, how we should live in response to the gospel, how we should live because we've been justified like that, how we should live in view of God's mercy. Follow verse 1. It's all there in those opening two clauses. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So from now on, says Paul, in view of God's mercy, your worship of God is not going to play out in hymns and church services, not just in temple sacrifices and offerings, not in an hour a week, but in all kinds of day-to-day practical sacrificial ways. All kinds of things that you'll do with your body to serve. Not because you're earning God's favour, but because you are thankful. Now, of course, we like to keep our bodies safe and comfortable, don't we? We like to keep our bodies warm and well-dressed or cool on a summer's day. But Paul says, therefore, in view of God's mercy, forget about comfortable. Because God has been so good to us, here is how to respond. So here we are this morning at the start of that section. And I want to suggest to you from it just three New Year's resolutions if you really want to start doing that, living in response to God's grace. Here they are. Number one, don't conform, but have your mind changed instead. Have it transformed. Number two, see more of your family, but specifically your church family. And then number three, do some bodybuilding. We'll see what that means soon. So resolution number one. What better way to mark the new year? What better way to start 2022 than with a fresh outlook on life? A whole new way of seeing things that comes from a renewed mind. See, if you are going to be someone who's living in view of God's mercy, that changes things. For starters, you won't be living as someone who lives in fear of death and judgment. And we won't be living as people who are trying to somehow earn God's approval, never quite sure if we've made it. Remember, we saw already, all of us, we are sinners who have been righted freely, justified freely by God's grace already, counted as righteous through faith in Jesus. And so the way we see things, the way our mind is, needs to change from the way it was before. So easy to have the same set of values as the rest of the world. So easy to chase what the world chases and think what they think, and value what they value, which are typically things like sex and money and power, depending on your age group. But God says, resolution number one, get a mind makeover. Let's read the words closely in verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, thought by thought, issue by issue. Ask the question, how do I approach this as a person who has received God's mercy already? How do I approach this as a person counted righteous by the God of the universe and being transformed into his likeness? We so easily conform, don't we? We watch the same ads, we dream the same dreams, we want what everyone else wants. We are so deeply conditioned by consumerism to never be satisfied. Well, Paul says, don't conform any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is something that God promises to do for you by his Spirit as you keep your eyes on Jesus, as you keep his mercy on view. It's transformative. So resolution number one, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then he says, you'll be able to test and approve what God's will truly is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Resolution two, why not make 2022 a year with more family time? And quite radically, I'm talking here about your brothers and sisters in your church family. Now, here's what happens. I think there is so much more to do, isn't there? So much else to do. If you're at uni, there's study pressure to make sure you get through, and not just that, to do well. If you're starting out on the career ladder, there's career pressure. So much time at work. You're married with young kids. Well, there are two careers. So you hardly ever see each other, and the kids are in care from 7 a.m. and you never see them either. So understandably, Sunday comes. You just want to go, oh, kick back. Spend family time with the drawbridge raised. Nobody gets in. Which actually in the end, for so many families today, rules out being part of God's family. See, the trouble is, if you're someone committed to renewing your mind along the same lines as God's mind, if you're serious about knowing and living his will, there is a bigger family that you're part of that needs to somehow be in your life as a genuine priority. And for sure you might need to spend more time with your husband, your wife, your kids. So what else are you going to cut back instead? So you maybe think of church as a kind of a club. You take out a membership, turn up whenever it fits your lifestyle. Or you perhaps need a service that the club provides once or twice a year. But in Paul's mind, church is the family of God. Here in Romans 12, in fact, in everything he writes, you'll see it woven through all over the place. It's there in verse 1. It's not, therefore I urge you colleagues, or even, therefore I urge you friends. It's, therefore I urge you siblings, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. It's there again in verse 10. Take a look. Be devoted to one another, he says, in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Now, can I ask you, and I know it's a big ask, but as we launch a new year at Scots, as we look to the future and pray that God grows us as a church, will you, if you're part of the church family here, be devoted to one another in brotherly and sisterly love? Will you make space in your hearts to love even more brothers and sisters too? Because as we pray for God to add to our number, we need to be ready to enfold new brothers and sisters into the family. One morning in the Sydney peak hour, my old friend Ian Powell got onto a crowded train. He was lucky, he found a seat right next to another guy in a grey suit sat down next to him without really looking, as you do. You know, the polite way you sit next to someone and pretend they don't really exist. Now, this was in the era before smartphones, so there's Ian. He's a scholarly type. He's reading a book on the Sydney peak hour train. The guy beside him buried in a newspaper, politely ignoring each other. When about 5 minutes later, someone getting off bumps Ian a little bit into the other guy, and Ian has to turn around and apologise. And he suddenly realises it's his brother, Ross. Side by side, on the train like strangers, without a second glance. When they could have spent the time enjoying one another as brothers. Now, they had a laugh about it. But what if that was church every week? What if you're just sitting there next to one another like strangers on a train when you could be enjoying one another as brothers and sisters? Because you see, that is the picture all the way through the New Testament, that God calls together a family. Not a club, not passengers, brothers and sisters. So again, will you resolve in 2022 to actually be devoted to the family? See one another more. Love one another more. Instead of letting anything else that comes along just squeeze your church family out. There's one more resolution I want to suggest, similar to number two, but I guess a little bit more active. Lots of New Year's resolutions revolve around exercise. And last a day or two into the new year, when you can hardly move because of your sore muscles. But it's a good thing you say, this year I'm going to walk more. This year I'm going to do some aquarobics. I'm actually going to go, not just sign up for the class. The thing about exercise is that it's just a matter of using your body to do what it's meant to do. It's kind of use it or lose it, isn't it? Well, same here. Have a look at what Paul says in verse 4 and 5. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We all have different gifts according to the grace given to us. So he's going to say, make sure you use those gifts for the benefit of one another, for the benefit of the body. See, again, you might think that you come along to church for you. But in this new family, in the new community that God's building, we all belong to one another like parts of a body. And each body part has got a job to do for the benefit of the whole. Look at those words again, verse 5. So in Christ, he says, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We've all got different gifts, we've all got different abilities according to God's grace to us. We're all body parts, so we all need to be doing what we do. All different. Verses 6 to 8, there's a bit of a list. Wonderful things like contributing to the needs of others. And look, that is something that a lot of people in the Scots church family, in the Scots body, do very, very well. There is prophecy in the list as well, which Paul defines in 1 Corinthians as speaking a God-given word that encourages the body. It's very little to do, Paul's idea of prophecy, very little to do with crazy predictions of the world ending on July 19th or some other random date. Prophecy in the New Testament is a God-given and timely word of encouragement. Now, can you use that gift to build up the body? I'm sure you can. Doing acts of mercy. Now, again, we've got a fantastic pastoral committee at Scots that specialises in acts of mercy, and they're terrific. But let me tell you, it's not limited by committees. In your own body, maybe you scrape your left arm, the right arm straight away reaches out. Your hand's there to check it without delay, without a thought. It's a reflex, which again is Paul's picture of a church body doing it cheerfully. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching and exhorting, says Paul, then teach and exhort with grace. Now, I do want you to notice in passing, for someone in my role, week by week, teaching God's word and encouraging and exhorting. The reason I'm here this morning, the reason I am doing what I'm doing, people sometimes say to me, well, did you have a mysterious calling to leave engineering and go into ministry? And the answer is, you know, the real calling I got was right here, very literally in this passage. As people in our church in the past and in our small group used to say, hey, you've got a real gift for teaching. And as Lou and I prayerfully weighed that up, and as more and more people agreed with that, it was actually this very passage that brought me to the point of saying, well, we've all got different gifts that we're meant to use to build up the body. So I guess that's what I need to be doing. Just like if your gift is encouraging. You encourage someone as if it's your God-given gift and duty to do. Because it is. And if it's giving to the needs of others, if God's given you the means to do that, then give generously and cheerfully. If it's leadership, do it diligently and not half-heartedly, which means if you're an elder especially, take note. And if it's showing mercy, all kinds of kindness, do it with good cheer, not begrudgingly. And perhaps in all those other cases, be just a little bit thankful that you didn't have to go off to Bible college and learn ancient Greek to be able to do your bit of the service of God's church, because that was quite painful in learning to be a teacher. Friends, here's the point. All equally part of the body, members of the team, instruments of the metaphorical orchestra with a part to play. Every part of the body doing what each part does best, not for yourself, but doing it because you know that as part of the body of Christ, you and your gifts and your abilities actually belong not to you, but to the body, to the team. And if you're older, you'll notice that you are never too old for things like encouragement and kindness, as I'm aware so many of you already know. So we give ourselves sacrificially to one another in the service of our Lord Jesus, which of course is back in verse 1 what it means to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, which is what true spiritual worship really is. Not just hymns and prayers between 11 and noon on a Sunday. Giving ourselves sacrificially for one another. So I guess the encouragement is to be a truly worshipping church this year in that sense of sacrificing ourselves for one another. As we start the new year this morning, will you commit yourself to renewing your mind? In view of God's mercy, don't just conform, be transformed. Will you make it a resolution to see more of your church family, getting to know and love your brothers and sisters and mums and dads and children and grandchildren in the Lord, spending more time this year with your church family in actually being a family? One really practical thing you can do today, this morning, right after church, is perhaps look around for someone you've never actually spoken to at church before and break the ice. And finally, some bodybuilding for the year. Get involved in using your gifts as your part of the body to build up the rest. Now, there's plenty more to do in that chapter in view of God's mercy, much more to reflect on here in Romans chapter 12, but those three, I think, will be a great start, some great resolutions for 2022. Let me pray. Father, as we hear your word to us as a church family this morning, we pray that indeed you would move our hearts, that you would give us true resolve by your Spirit to be doing those things to serve you and build up one another. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing now, Glory Be to God the Father. Let's join in. Well, friends, thanks so much for joining with us as we've sung God's praises and heard his word this morning. Now, the awkward news is I'm not sure if we do have morning tea on the mezzanine floor today. Does anybody know up the back? Yes? It's a yes. So please do come across for morning tea in the mezzanine floor of the Westpac building. Otherwise, if you need to rush off, you can at least grab a coffee and say a quick hello up the back as you go. It's been good to have you here. Let me finish with these words. And now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, may he equip us with everything good that we may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.